Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you. It is an absolutely beautiful day today. It's a little bit cool, so I'm filming back inside again. But again, it's an absolutely beautiful day here. I hope this is a beautiful day where you are at whatever point in time it is that you're watching this. Hope that you're having a wonderful day in every way, not just in terms of the weather, but your life circumstances, your most of all, your relationship with the Lord. But you know, as we think about this day that we are in, wherever you are when you're watching this, the best part about this day is the fact that we get to meet with our Lord. We get to come to Him in His Word and in prayer. We get to seek Him. We get to experience Him in this time, but also in our lives. And that's one reason why I'm so thankful for these times, for Jonathan and Nikki, for all that they do to make them possible. But most of all, obviously, for our Lord, that He has created us. He has given His Son to live, die, and rise again for us. He sent His Spirit to bring us unto Himself. He wants us to know Him. And so He's given us this time, these means to meet. He's given us His Word. And so since we've come together to meet with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, the physical beauty of this day, but, oh, Lord God, just the wonderful truth, oh, Lord, of Your existence, Your presence, Your power, Your goodness, Your grace, Your love, Your mercy. Father, that a God like You would want to save sinners like us, adopt us as Your children, would want us to know You and to grow in You, to be able to walk closer to You and trust You more. And Father, we thank You for that. And thank You, Lord, for giving us this time. Thank You for Your Word that You've provided. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. And Lord, we just ask, oh God, that You open our minds and our hearts, oh Lord, to hear from You and grow in Your grace. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think one of the reasons that we like the book of Psalms, and we'll be in Psalm 60 today, is the fact that in the book of Psalms, you see faith in everyday life. There's a tremendous amount of very deep theology in the book of Psalms. You see a lot of prophetic references. And yet all of those are put in terms of everyday circumstances. You know, you can certainly see how it applies to the writer of the psalm in his life, but then you can see the greater picture many times, a prophetic picture. Many of them are messianic. They point to Christ. But all of those wonderful deep truths always come in a real life experience. And we certainly see that today for David in Psalm 60. And it's an experience that we can all relate to. You're going through life, and yes, there are challenges, and there are struggles, and there are problems, there are adversities, but you're able to handle them. And then all of a sudden, boom, something comes along that was completely unforeseen, unexpected, something that was completely out of the blue. Now, it may have been financial, it may have been relational, it may have been physical. Never, you know, what's the expression we use? Never in a million years I see that one coming. And yet, how often do those things that we never saw coming come? And we're caught completely off guard. This is exactly where David is in this 60th Psalm. You think about what we see in the superscription, that inspired writing above the Psalm, not necessarily what the editors of your particular Bible or study Bible put there. Many times those are good, but I'm talking about the actual inspired writing above the Psalm that sets the context. Here in the superscription for Psalm 60, we see, for the choir director, according to Shushan Udath, a miktam of David to teach, when he struggled with Aram Naharim and with Aram Zobah, and Joab returned and smote 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Now the background of this is in 2 Samuel chapter 8. David was at war. The Philistines, he had to, kind of an ongoing battle with them in the western part of the land of Israel, and all the geographical references we'll see in this passage will be in reference to the nation of Israel. That'll be the center of your map, so to speak. But the Philistines are along the west. You had Moab to the east. You have Aram Nahorim, as he's mentioned here, and Aram Zoba. They were from the northeast. And so there are these battles. There was this fighting going on. And God was giving David success. God was giving David victory. It was, you know, problems and difficulties, but God was giving David victory in the midst of it. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, not expected in a million years, as we would say, Edom invades from the south. So David, you know, he's having all these wars going on, some of the Philistines on the west, but mostly to the north and the northeast of his of Israel. And then he's invaded from the south, just a completely unexpected source of an invasion. Almost, if you will, like the Battle of the Bulge in 1944, when the Germans massed forces and attacked in the Ardennes in a sector that we thought was quiet, was secure. Nothing's going to happen there, especially in the middle of winter. Everything's going to be calm. Everything's going to be, you know, we've got this thing sewn up. It's just a matter of time. And the Germans mount a major offensive. Caught us off guard. This is exactly where David is. This thing has come out of the blue, this invasion by Edom. And as we look at this psalm, the first thing that we see, and we can relate to it, is the experience of an unexpected crisis. You think about what we see in verses 1 through 3. O God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You have been angry. O restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people experience hardship. You've given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. You read that and you can hear the despair, the confusion, the shock. God, why are you doing this? We're serving you. My whole life just fell apart. This is completely out of the blue. I am blown away by what's happening here. Again, you think about those words. Oh God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You have been angry. Oh, restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people experience hardship. You've given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. We've all been there. You've been there. You may be there now. Again, going through life, handling the problems or adversities, and there may even have been a large one or large ones, and you had learned how to handle them, to manage them, to deal with them, and then all of a sudden you're completely blown away by something that you had not expected, something completely out of the blue. What do we do in those times? Well, look at the response to an unexpected crisis. Look what we see David doing here. And you think of the response we have here. A, we need to look to the Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5, I turn two pages instead of one. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer us. You know, God himself was the one who had called them, empowered them, who loved them, and loved them ongoing. They needed to look to him. You think, how often do you and I tend to look at the crisis, look at our fear, look at our worry about what could happen? We begin to think of all the potential possibilities. But like David, leading the nation of Israel here, we need to turn our attention unto the Lord. It needs to be turned back to him. You know, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. You think about that very famous story about Peter when he attempted to walk on the water. And what happened? You know, the Lord enabled him to do it, but then Peter turned his mind and he began to look at the wind, began to look at the waves. And because his eyes were off the Lord, he began to sink there. David, in this unexpected crisis, deliberately, resolutely, turns his mind, his heart back to the Lord. You know, when we go through that time of an unexpected crisis, we need to deliberately discipline ourselves to look back to the Lord and keep our focus on him. And you may be, you know, you may have been hit with an unexpected crisis today. Now, you may have already had circumstances, challenges. Some of them may have been major, and then all of a sudden this one came. And again, you're looking like Peter at the wind, at the waves. You're looking at the enemy invading. You're looking at the problem. We need to turn our heart back to the Lord. We need to look to the Lord. But then notice what else. We need to listen to the Lord. Look at verses 6 and 7. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Now again, all these references are from the reference point of the nation of Israel. That's the center of the map when we look at this. Shechem relates to Ephraim, you know, one of the predominant tribes. Succoth was in fact Gad. Gilead, of course, was the tribe east of the Jordan. Manasseh was in two parts. There was one on the eastern part of the Jordan, one on the western part of the Jordan. Ephraim, again, you know, is a picture of strength. Judah was, of course, the tribe whom God had chosen to lead. David was of the tribe of Judah. And of course, our Lord, being a descendant of David, came through the line of Judah. But the idea here is this, is that Israel is, in fact, God's. And God has made it very clear that Israel is, in fact, his. He will watch over them and protect them. We need to listen to the Lord remind us that we are his. He will watch over us. He will, in fact, protect us. We need to listen to him. Believer, you are his. Listen to what his word tells you, that he loves you with an eternal love. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Everything he does for you will be for eternally good. That we can rest in him, we can trust in him. We need to listen to him. But you know, it doesn't just tell us about Israel. God doesn't just speak about Israel, but notice as well, he speaks about the enemies of Israel. And you think about what we read in verse 8. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Shout loud, O Philistia, because of me. You think about that Moab, again, the east and the east and northeast. There, when he stalks there, Edom is my washbowl. The idea being they're like a menial slave, the one doing the lowest possible work or effort. When he speaks of Edom there, I shall throw my shoe. That the word picture there is like a man coming in. He's been out in the field. He's been working. And he tosses his dirty shoes to the, again, to an even lower slave to handle and to deal with. He then goes on. He speaks there about Philistia. And he talks about, you know, again, they're the western part of in the land of Israel, but that they would shout because they would recognize God's victory over them. What he's talking about here is his absolute, complete, and total victory. The idea here is of the victorious God who has watched over, vindicated, and protected his people. They, Israel, needed to listen to God's promises. We need to listen to God's promises. He has promised to protect, to provide, to guide, to strengthen, to enable. You know, God, we may have been hit out of the blue with the situation, but God was not hit out of the blue. What caught us off guard did not catch God off his guard. And we need to always understand and remember that surprises, or what we think of as surprises, don't nullify the promises of God. God, in his infinite wisdom, in his omniscience, in his eternal nature, God knew the surprises before he ever made the promises. God didn't make the promise or promises, and then all of a sudden some major problem comes up and it nullifies the promises because God didn't see that coming and he can't make it happen now. God knew all the surprises before he ever made the promises. He made the promises and he fully intends to keep them because he is a faithful God. We need to listen to God. What has he said in his word? We can trust him. We can count upon him. So we need to look to God. We need to listen to God. But then notice C as well, we need to lean on the Lord. Think about what we see in verses 9 through 11. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me into Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our enemies, O God? O give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is vain. You see the prayer there, David praying for God to intervene. And you see the confident answer in verse 12. Through God, we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. David knew that they could count upon God, and as a result, he trusted him. We can count upon God. You can count upon God. In whatever it is that you are facing, you can trust the Lord. you know, those verses that are very familiar to us, and you may even have them memorized, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will clear the path. Or as Adrian Rogers used to say, He will bulldoze the path for you, even through the unexpected. If you'll look to Him, if you'll listen to Him, if you'll lean on Him, God will in fact carry you through. You can trust Him. Whatever it is that you're facing, you may have been called out of the blue with it, but God wasn't. Trust Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, O Lord, for this day, that You are a God who is worthy of our trust. Father, You're faithful. Lord, You knew every surprise before You made any promise. And Father, You're faithful to Your promises. Father, we may have been caught off guard. You never are. Lord, enable us, O God, and remind us to look at You, not the problem. May we listen to what You have promised and said in Your Word, and, O Lord, may we lean upon You, and may we see You work and move, O God, in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you remember that whatever it is that you're facing, even if you are caught out of the blue, that you keep your focus on the Lord, that you listen to His Word, and that you lean upon Him, and you'll see Him guide you and carry you, provide for you. You will see Him meet your every need. And I hope as you go through life that way, that you'll experience the wonderful closeness of His fellowship, and that you have a great day in the Lord.